it is so exciting to be able to celebrate Father's Day. You know what this means, guys. Oh, yeah. We get to go out to eat. But it's even better than that. We get to pick the place. Yeah. Hallelujah. At least I think we get to pick the place. Maybe. Some sort of influence over the place? I don't know. Well, hopefully we don't have to pay. Well, hallelujah. I hope that you are enjoying Father's Day so far and that you are glorifying God in the process and that the Lord is being exalted. And there is no greater place to be than the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And, I just love being in the service. I just love being in the presence of God in the midst of the fellowship where the Spirit of God is moving and working and doing a new thing. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I need a washing over by the Spirit of God. And just to be in the presence of God's people, stirring up the atmosphere of worship. You know, you go all week long, and there's all types of atmospheres you have to pass through. Isn't it nice when you can just be refreshed and allow the Spirit of the Lord to just minister to you? Well, we are so thankful that on Father's Day that we are here as men, as fathers. And so often, fathers kind of get a bad rap. Isn't that right? How many of you know fathers get a bad rap? Yeah. Well, they do. They get a bad rap. Not that they don't deserve it most of the time, but they still get it. And often there are situations and circumstances where not everyone deserves the bad rap. We know that there are some who are good fathers. Isn't that right? And we know the number one good father is our Heavenly Father. And no matter what kind of earthly father you have, you have an excellent Heavenly Father, and He is the greatest Father you could ever have or want. And so to the Lord, we say Happy Father's Day. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for all that You have done. And so we are just wanting to acknowledge the fathers here today. And so if you're a father, we're going to ask you to stand up, all the fathers. Yes. In fact, we're going to pray for all the fathers. If you would come on down, come on down. Look at all. These are the mighty men of God. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Come on. Don't worry. We're not going to give you flags. You don't have to dance or anything. Even though, I don't know, Ben is trying to start a trend here. Ben has got a little thing going on. Hallelujah. All right. Well, how about that? Well, let's pull in a little bit, and we're gonna pray over these guys. Boy, this is a handsome group of guys up here. Look at this. Yeah. These are the fathers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're gonna pray over them, and Pastor Raphael, Pastor Michal would join me. That would be great. Where are they? They're directing traffic. Well, we are going to pray, and then after we pray. And we're going to ask, if you have a family member up here, if any of these men you're laying claim to, let's stand and let's pray in for them as well. Join in. Hallelujah. You know, come on up. Stand up. Where, Paul, are you sitting there? What are you doing down there, Paul? Get up here, man. Come on. We have spiritual fathers, we got physical fathers, you know, and sometimes, you know, we may not have directly have children, but we influence children in a fatherly way. And that is no less important than having given birth to a child. So we know, especially here in our church, we have men, we watch out for each other, each other's families, each other's kids, and we're fathering each other. Fathering each other's kids. No, that's not coming out right. All right, so we're helping each other, all right? We're helping each other. Hallelujah. All right, so let's pray, all right? Are you ready? All right, hallelujah. Lord, we are so thankful for these men that you have raised up to represent the generations to come. We ask, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit upon them. Lord, that you would fill their hearts with the attributes of God and that their minds would be renewed and strengthened in the ways of the Lord. God, be their cover and their guard and their guide. I ask, Lord, that you would give them wisdom, Lord, even as you gave Solomon, that they would be able to lead and guide and direct their households and even on their jobs and their places of influence, Lord, wherever they are, that you would use them mightily. We rebuke the devourer who would dare to come against them and hinder them in the work of the Lord and their representation of the principles of God and the ways of integrity that you have established in the earth. And we pray, O God, that you would show yourself in them, sustain them and keep them, bring healing to their bodies and renewal to their minds. Enable them and empower them that they would have unity in their homes and in their relationships, and that you, Lord God, would be glorified. They would be lifted up as you are exalted. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, 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 and amen. Hallelujah. Well, men of God, we have something for you. Of course, you know, we don't like people going away empty-handed. And so, a steak dinner, yeah, oh, okay. Yes, yes, your wives will be helping you with that and your children. Hallelujah. Oh, is that what it says? We'll pull out the grill. Well, we have these, I'm supposed to demonstrate how these things work, but we have these pens that have, of course, they can't just be normal pens, but they are a computer tip on one end, so when you go to the store, you know how you have to sign with your finger behind everybody else's fingers? Well, you can use this, and you can also use this to write. It writes like a regular pen, and it has a level in it. You know how you're always looking for a level to find out if you could, I just need a quick check. Well, this pen has a level in it, so you can always check and know that it's straight. All right, but guard these pens because your wives will try to take them. They will want them. And so this is to represent that we are praying that God would keep you level and stable-minded as you live your life in representation of the kingdom of God for the sake of all that God has called you to do, that you would represent him in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm supposed to. Yeah, there is a top that screws off in here. And inside, there are little mini screwdrivers, a flathead. And, oh, the ladies want it now. Oh, yeah, boy. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we got to have these little cool gadgets. So, yes. So, there you go. All right. That's it. And it also has a ruler on it, so you can measure stuff. So, all that is cool stuff. All right. You see, I will never let you down with these cool stuff, man. You know, I know what the guys want. I'm telling you. Yeah, you won't be losing this pen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, with that, we say God bless you and thank you all. How awesome you are. Thank you. We love our guys, man. We really appreciate each and every one of you. Tomorrow night, men's prayer, 7:30. Come on down. Hallelujah. Well, today our service is a little bit longer today because we have all these little things going on, just about 15 minutes or so. And, you know, today is our panel, and we have Pastor Michal, Pastor Raphael, come on. And they are joining me, hallelujah, today. And, you know, I'm excited. We got our really cool new cups. Look at that, man. Oh, yes. Well, hallelujah. We are talking about being transformed into the image of God. We are talking about being changed. If you're going through life and you don't change, then there's something wrong with you. You're probably dead. Check your pulse. Because just being alive in this world, in this day and age, affects us and causes us to be changed in one way or another. Our minds are always processing information, and we're constantly having to adapt and learn and figure out things just to be able to survive and do well. And so when we are looking at the Word of God, we know how important it is to change. God has called us to change. You should not be staying the same. You should be growing. You should be maturing. You should be accomplishing things that would enable God to be glorified in your life. And it is exciting to serve God and to have a relationship with Him as He changes us. Oh, man, thank God for change. Ooh. And often we find that, yeah, man, we can clap for that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for change. You know, we all want to change. Well, I guess I can't say we all. I'm always getting in trouble for using absolutes. So you know, we most of us want to change, right? I'm learning. You know, most of us want to change. We want to grow. We want to mature. We want to see the hand of God do something powerful in our lives. And as a church, we've always believe that God is in the transformation business. This is what God does. He changes people. He changes people from the people who are not of God to the people who are of God. And then He changes people who are of God into people who are not like the world to people who are like people from the kingdom of God. And we're always going through this transforming process to make us more and more like Christ. We were talking the other day, we were talking about, we had our training for the security, and we were talking about what kind of man Jesus was, how you always see him on TV, and he's always walking real slow, and he's like, oh, you know, and he's talking real soft, and he's all quiet and humble. We're like, that is not really the way the Bible portrays Jesus. And when you look at the things that Jesus said and did, he was a manly man. He wasn't this wussy, rubber-back kind of like, you know, slippery kind of wishy-washy guy. You know, he was a manly man. He was a carpenter, for goodness sake. His hands were rough, right? He dealt with all kinds of tools. That ought to tell you something right away. You ever known a wushy man to mess with tools? No. Oh, I was tempted to do a little role play there, but I'm not going to do it for the sake of time. Mm-hmm. But
there you go.
All right, I'm getting it. But we know that it's so important to understand that God wants us to be manly men. He wants us to be the men He's called us to be. We are not to be ashamed. We're not to be intimidated. We're not to be, you know, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That Amen. Is not weakness. Amen. And don't confuse meekness for weakness.
Amen. Amen.
Meekness is having the power and the strength to overthrow a kingdom, but the restraint to know with measurement how to release it in order to accomplish it. And so we're not bulls in a china shop, but at the same time, you don't want to be messing with us or we'll break you like china.
Ooh.
What? Yeah. Hallelujah. And that and that is what God is working out. Nobody wants to go against God. You don't. You will lose every time. And I guarantee you, Jesus was a humble man, but he was no whoosh. And he had the power and the ability to bring in power and authority from heaven to change lives and to change situations and circumstances. And so as we are looking at the Word of God here, we are excited whenever we find God doing something. And as fathers, he is transforming us. And we're going to talk a little bit about being a transformed father today and how important it is to be changed. It doesn't matter what you were yesterday. Let's be something new today. And let's begin new and afresh today. Yes, we all make mistakes. I made a mistake this morning. I got scolded by our security team, and I ruffled them a little bit. And so, you know, I apologize. Forgive me.
Now you got to fill us in,
Ricky. I'm sorry. Well, you know, I was rustling around because I was trying to get stuff done real quick. And I violated some of the safety protocols. So, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'm sorry. You know, I forgot. I really did. I was like, this needs to get done. And I went zip. And I was like, all right. All right. Keep me in prayer. It was a little traumatizing. Just a little. And so we are being transformed as fathers, as pastors, and God is doing a new thing in the midst of us. And I would like to use 1 John 3:2-3 kind of as our lead-off verse here for today. Beloved, we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be, but we will be like him. And because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. God is calling us to be like our Heavenly Father. And we have to do the things that we need to do. We need to be trained. How many of you know you have to train up children, right? If you don't model the right thing to a child, they will not learn it because they don't listen. Right? They don't listen. They watch. They watch and they see. And you can say all you want to say, but if you're doing the opposite of what you're saying, then everything you said, all your credibility goes out of the window. And a lot of times, you know, we don't know this as fathers. We don't learn this in school. They don't teach fatherhood 101, you know, even in college, there's no class. And so we have to have the Word of God in order to gain instruction. In fact, the world is teaching you the opposite of pretty much everything the Word of God says. And there is an all-out war against biblical principles and the things of God. And as you see that war encroaching upon and through society, you also see the quality of life in society is also going down. And there's no way to really bring into a proper view without understanding what the Word of God says about life and how we are to live. And once you see that and we begin to apply those principles in our lives, we see God bring about change. And we can be changed for the good or changed for the not so good. And it all depends on what model we are following. And God has called us to represent the kingdom of God. And so Pastor Michal started out with talking about the new life about a month ago. And we are talking about renewable energy, how God gives us strength to be energized over and over again to do what it is that he has called us to do so that we can be able to represent the right model and model the right thing. So give us a recap of what it is that the Lord gave you. Yes.
Right, praise God. So, yeah, so obviously the title of the message back in April was Your Carbon Footprint. right? And as we look at each one of our carbon footprints, you know, the world is out there trying to harness all kinds of energy to actually, you know, propel whatever it is that we need to operate on a day-to-day basis. And most of that energy is non-renewable energy, and it leaves behind this carbon footprint, this toxic material, right? So God gave me that, and he was in asking us as a people. Today I'm going to focus on men more than anything else. But look at the lineage you're leaving. Look at whatever projects, whatever things you're doing. What kind of legacy, what remains? Is it life-giving or is it toxic, right? And as we go through that, we'll be able to examine whether we need to come more under God's authority or whether we're actually, you know, listening and hearing from God. So I'm going to start off with this is actually your carbon footprint is the title, right? But in Ephesians 5:22-5:25, I really want to start off addressing it. Obviously, this is for everybody, but today is Father's Day, so I want to address the men, right? Because God established an order, right? From the very start, he created life first, then he went through the whole phase, right? Up to the point of where he rested, right? And he had an order in everything that he did, right? So it says here in Ephesians 5:22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be subject to be to their husbands in everything, right? Here's the catch. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. So yes, we are to be the men of the house. We are to be the head of the house. But under this understanding, as we live a life that shows or depicts that we will give up our lives, you could say, for our wives. If we live that type of life, then our wives will just normally. It's a natural process. God has made it to be that way, right? So, men, if that's not the way in your household, I want to start there, right? Because nothing else is really possible unless you're actually walking in God's ways in your household first, right? Because if what you're leaving in your household is toxic, then that's going to follow you everywhere you go, right? So as men, we need to start asking the Lord, Lord, show me how to be the man that you've called me to be. Show me how to live this type of life in my house so that I would be subject, yes, to the Lord, and then that I would be willing to give up my life even for my wife, and then to see the family order start to come into alignment, right?
Yes.
So based off of that, right, I want to talk about renewable energy, right? So we know that the world is out looking for everything. They've finally come back to looking at the wind, which God gave us, the sun, which God gave us, right? And trying to harness that energy, right? But God has a different energy for us as we're born again, right? He has given us the Holy Spirit, right? And we need to truly come into a place where we understand, where we know, where we hear from the Holy Spirit and rely on that energy. Because this is what Isaiah says about the Lord, right? In the book of Isaiah, it's actually the Lord really speaking this about himself, right? He says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is unscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Mm-hmm. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary.
Hallelujah.
So praise God, as we read that this morning, right? It's easier to look at that and get all excited, right? But are we truly being energized every day in our walk before the Lord? That is something that we have to ask ourselves. Because if God says this, right? And God, we know that God has deposited the Holy Spirit in us. That is God dwelling within our members, right? It says that the very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead also lives in us and is giving life to our mortal bodies, right? So if that's the case, God is our renewable energy. He is our renewable energy. And if we continue to pursue after that, then what's left will not be toxic, but it will be life-giving. Right. Every time that we move on, there will be life, if you will, left in that thing, even as we move. So those who come after us,
right,
there will be life in that. Look at your home. The generations coming after, is life being breathed into them?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
In the church, as men, are we standing up and being men of God in the church? And now, the up-and-coming generations, there's life being breathed into that. Yes. Because, and not because of the things that we do, but it's because of the mindset that we have, that we are pursuing after God, and we are thoroughly dependent on the fact that God is the one who is renewing our energy, renewing our strength, you know, giving us that renewable energy. When we walk, we will not grow tired, right?
Yes.
And when we run, we will not get tired. And when we walk, we will not grow weary, right?
Right.
We will actually rise up. Right?
Yeah.
Even under that kind of adversity, yeah. Right?
Hallelujah.
So it's vitally important to understand where our renewable energy comes from, right?
Yes.
And it's not
right.
from the sources of this world. It's not from, yes, the diet is great, exercise is great, but they're all of that is dispendable energy, right? Every
right.
time that you eat food, you got to eat again, right? Every time you do exercise, if you go away from the gym for a month, those muscles start to atrophy, right? All of that stuff will dwindle away, right?
Mm-hmm.
But God is continuing to give us sustainable energy. Oh, and all we have to do is rest in Him.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is seek after Him. Go into our prayer closet and say, Lord, where are you? Show me where you are. And as I continue to pursue after you, then I can know for sure that I will be strong, that I will have that renewable energy, that I will have the wisdom I need.
Mm-hmm.
Because even in the times where you need it to rest, you will hear God saying rest,
right?
And even in that rest, God will renew that energy, He'll renew that strength within you, right?
Yes.
So we go on from there, right? Because I love this because it's one thing to know all that, right? But the thing is, how do we get there, right? And yes, we get there by prayer, we get there by fasting, we get there by continued fellowship, we get there by worship. All those things are what you hear every single day, right?
Right.
And they should be all part of a Christian walk.
Right.
That should already be a part of your walk, right?
Right?
But how are we focusing, right? Like I can be a great marksman, right? But never have a target, so I'm just shooting arrows everywhere, right? But as soon as I put a target up, now that will test if my actually is good or not. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
now I have to hit a bullseye, right? So that's what this is. This will serve as that kind of honing in. How do I focus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when the disciples were asking Jesus how to pray, right? He says, pray this then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, first acknowledge God always, right? Hallowed be your name. Realize the holiness of God, right? But then your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God's kingdom, Jesus said that He has ushered in the kingdom of God. So God's kingdom is here. And God's kingdom is, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
So when God says right. jump in heaven,
yes.
no one asks why. It's just everybody in heaven jumps. You know?
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If God says do, everyone in heaven does, right? How often does God say to us, do, when we're like, nah, you can't mean me.
Right.
I don't know if I really heard you correctly.
Right.
Maybe I take that in prayer. We start arguing almost immediately with God. We see something in Scripture that doesn't necessarily align with how we want to live our lives. We're like, well, maybe there's a different interpretation or a different understanding.
Right.
And you see that throughout
right.
the history of time.
Mm-hmm.
Men have done that with the Scriptures. They've taken them out of context and placed them and made Scripture say what they want Scripture to say.
Right.
Not to conform to what Scripture is saying, right?
Right.
So when it says here, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know the will of God unless we're in that place and we're seeking God? We're hearing from God. If you're not hearing from God, ask God. Sit before God every day and say, Lord, let me hear your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Show me what it is to know, to rely on you for my direction.
Yeah.
Lord, just recently, I took a new job back in December, and in March they told me they were closing down. Right? Yeah, I thought it was my retirement job, we'll say, you know, but so at that point I had two choices, either to get all panicked, right, or because my job that I had prior, I had done such a good job, I guess I had actually also found my replacement before I left, so I couldn't go back there, right, and besides, God doesn't want us looking back, He wants us continuing looking forward, right,
That's right.
I just said, you know what, Lord, I don't care what it is, I'm just going to continue to apply, but any door that is not meant to be opened, I'm going to trust that you're going to close it. And any door that is meant to be open, I'm going to trust that you're going to open it. So I'm not going to worry. I'm just going to keep applying. I must have put out 30 different applications. Got all sorts of results back, all sorts of interviews back. And they loved me at the interview, but no offers. Except for this last one. And it was so obvious that it was from the Lord. Even the very first interview I went on, right? The guy was like, oh, you already have the job. Don't worry about it. I just got to convince and let to tell the owner that you're already hired. And we got to go for another interview. And the whole process, even to the point where I had given the, you know, part of the negotiation was how much do you want a year? And I told him what I wanted. And he went to the owner, told him what I wanted. And as they talked, they decided amongst themselves that they were going to give me $15,000 extra. I'm a Harry. Now, if you know, that's not God, you know, providing. I didn't even ask. I wasn't even something I asked for, but the Lord was making it very clear. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously that money is ear tagged for God's purposes. Whatever he wants to do with that, that's up to him. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you know, we have to get to that place. All right, Lord, you direct me. I don't care what the outcome is. Lord, I'm going to trust on you. I'm going to wait on you and allow you to be my source, right? So here, right, in Mark 4:26-29, it says, and he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. How many of us are waiting and ready? You know, that's why God has given us renewable energy. That's why God gives us strength. It's not just so that we'll be energetic, running around the place in circles, right? It's not so we're just running around, you know, wasting that same energy that God has given us. Right. God has given us that energy so it can be focused, so it can be harnessed, so it can now give life to those who are coming after us, right? So even as we walk in this world, as long as we're focused and are focused on God and are focused on doing the will of God on earth as it is in heaven, right? We don't need to know how it works. The farmer puts it down and goes, he doesn't even know how the ground makes it grow. Mm-hmm. He has no clue. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to know. We don't need to know how God is building a testimony in us. Right. We need to continue to trust in God, continue to seek after God, continue to walk in his purpose and his ways. And then as we look behind us, we'll see life just being left in our wake, right? Because God is the giver of life. So everything that will be left behind us will be life. So as men today, I really want to encourage you today, right? If start in your household. Get your household in order. And the way you get your household in order is not by demanding anything, but by going to God and let God make you to be the man that he wants you to be. And then everything else will fall in line, right? Because as you are to become the man that God wants you to be, when I first got saved, I was not a godly man in any way, shape. I didn't even want to be the head of the household. When I started reading about that in Scripture, I was like, Lord, I don't want that. My wife's much better at it, right? But God wasn't having that, you know what I'm saying? As you pursue after God, God wants you to be the head. And it's not anything that man is better than, because later on in Scripture he says that children obey your parents.
That's right.
Not your father.
Right.
Not your mother only, or your father only, but your parents, right? So he brings the two as one, right? But he has said it in a way that the man is the head of the household, right? That also brings a whole new accountability level on your shoulders. But as we come before the Lord, we will see that it is that very relationship with the Lord, it is that very pursuit of God that will cause us to have a renewable energy source that just leaves life wherever we go. So praise God. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. You know, and that's so awesome, because, you know, when we understand how God designed things to function and we operate in that, according to that design, everything seems to come together.
Yep.
And it happens without you even having to try.
Exactly. Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, it just literally, things fall into their rightful place.
Yeah.
And when we model the way of the Lord, even the world has to acknowledge that, it's working well, you know, things are doing what they're supposed to do.
Yep.
And when things are out of order, you see it. Even in the statistics, you see it.
Yep.
And everything is laid out based on what people are actually applying in their lives. And when we apply the principles of God, it changes everything for us so that we see manifestations come about that otherwise would not happen. And that's what makes this so great. You know, God has a way of doing everything. You know, sometimes people don't like to be told what to do, right? Like, oh, don't tell me how to do it. I'm going to do it my way. Well, if you do it your way, you get your results.
Exactly.
And if you do it God's way, you
get
God's
results. Amen. Hallelujah.
So, you know, I mean, the choice is up to you. But I think you can pretty much look at people and their lives and their relationships and see the fruit of their life, and it will tell you whose way they're applying. Because when you apply God's way, you get God's results. And it's it's unbelievable how powerful that is and how real that is. And it doesn't matter. You can debate all you want about random things. You know, people can find something to debate about. But the facts all speak for themselves. And, you know, we're living in a day where everybody wants to follow science until it doesn't fit their narrative. Right, yeah. And then all of a sudden, we don't even bring it up. You know, now we follow something else. And we have to follow the science and let it speak authentically. Right, well, and when we see that, when we apply the principles of God, it demonstrates through the results that that is the righteous way to do it, yeah. The way that it ought to be. And you see the fruit of that, and it comes to life. Amen. And that's what's so yeah, awesome about exactly. it, you know? And, and he pulls us together so that the husband has a role to play, the wife has a role to play. Yep. And when we come together, it establishes this dynamic that just explodes, you know? And your kids change. You're changed. Everything changes. You become fruitful and fruitful on every level. You just see goodness happening all around you. And so Pastor Raphael talked about the metamorphic change that takes place in the Christian life. And you and I are going through this change, whether we like it or not, right? We talked about caterpillars. We talked about dragonflies. We talked about tadpoles. These animals are changing whether they like it or not. Yeah. They're changing whether they even know it or not. Change is taking place. And we're all being transformed. We're all changing as we live our lives. We just want to make sure that we're changing for the good. And that we're Amen. Experiencing the things that God says we ought to experience. And when we apply the principles of God and his word, we're going to get those positive results. But negative results only come when you find yourself at odds with the very things that God calls us to represent and to do. And when we align ourselves with that, then God says, even the evil will be used for your good.
Amen, amen.
Because that's how God works. Amen. All things will work together for your good when you're called according to God's principles. So, Pastor Ralph, give us an update. Yes.
All right. Praise God, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
It's awesome to be able to be here and celebrate Father's, and we're talking about that metamorphosis that takes place, right?
Yes.
And I want to start off with I had to do quick numbers here, but I'm not great at math. That's why I became a preacher. And so that's why God made me a preacher, because he didn't make me good at math. But I did some quick counting real quick. There was about 41 men at the front of this church. Mm-hmm. And I want to explain to you the significance of that, because it wasn't just that there was 41 men standing in the front of the church. There were 41 men who said, I am a father. Mm-hmm. I am a father. Mm-hmm. I challenge you to go into any public school district right now and try to find 41 fathers. Mm-hmm. Because I want to explain something to you. We're talking about metamorphosis. We're talking about change. The church should be the one that's bringing change to the culture. The culture does not bring change to the church.
Yes, that's right.
And in the church, we need to see that fathers are rising up and taking their place in the family as heads of their house. Yes. The church does not operate according to statistic. The church does not operate according to the culture. The church operates according to the anointing and the authority of God.
Yeah.
And I wanted to raise that point because it is so unbelievable when we see so many men able to rise up and be the men that God has called them to be. This past Wednesday, we had our Father's Day event with the youth, and we had the fathers come and join their kids, and they were able to have fun, and they were able to just be fathers mm-hmm. to their children. And one of the things that we told them when we were there was, what kind of example are you giving to your children? Because we have to understand something. The Word of God tells us that we should not be making idols in our lives. Mm-hmm. That the only one that we should be serving is God. That's right. Right? But I'm about to give you a reality check. There are a lot of men in the world who operate with the mentality that their identity is being a father, forgetting that their primary role and identity is to be a son of God. And the moment that you place the role of father as the most important thing in your life, you have now made being a father an idol in your life. Now, let me further explain that for you. Men, when you are heads of your house, as Pastor Michal put out here, it is not because you are the general in your house. My wife oftentimes has to remind me, Rafael, that's your son, not your soldier. Or when it comes to the youth, she says, you're the youth pastor, not the drill sergeant. And I say, yes, dear. Right? But when we operate the way that God has called us to operate as men, as fathers, the first thought that comes to mind isn't, you better listen to me because I'm your father. The first thing that comes to my mind now is, am I worth listening to? Because I'm setting the example that my father has called me to set. Yeah. Because your children and your wives will never follow you unless you first follow Christ. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with that, it brings me into Romans 12, beginning at verse 3. It says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. We should not think that because we are the men, because we are the fathers, that we are, yes, we are the authority in the house, but you're not the final authority in the house. God is the final authority in the house. Because we have to be careful with making sure that we don't fall into the trap of, again, the culture dictating the change. Because when we walk in this life, when we walk in this lifestyle of being a father in Christ, we walk with the understanding, like the bull in the china shop, right? That we have to be able to understand that God has created us to be this strong individual. God has created us to be, for lack of a better way to put this, God has created men to be a monster. You know why? Because the enemy isn't afraid of a butterfly. That's right. The enemy is not afraid of a bunny rabbit. You know what the enemy is afraid of? A man who has the understanding that he operates in the authority of God, but exercises wisdom to be able to exercise it correctly. Yes. Because right. I'm going to tell you something. Yes. I will die for my children. I will die for my wife. Because right. Christ died for right. me. Mm-hmm. But you need to also understand something. You may be able to be at a point in your life that you're willing to die for your family, die for your children, die for your wife. But the real question is, are you able to die for yourself? Leave that old self behind and in the grave and live for Christ.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because like this change that we're talking about that takes place, get rid of the mentality of the world that says, oh, yeah. I'm a man. Yeah. Walking in like, I'm an alpha male. Who's ever heard that one before? Alpha male. God is the Alpha and Omega.
Hallelujah. Yes, he is.
And the fact of the matter is that we should not think more highly of ourselves, because when we dictate our worth according to the way the world dictates worth, we miss just how valuable we are in God's eyes. Mm-hmm. Because God has created us for greater things. Yeah. When the world is just trying to imitate what God has done.
Yeah.
Pastor Michal's taught about renewable energy, mm-hmm. right? It's amazing how there's these solar panels and windmills, and men walk around talking about, wow, look what we created. You didn't create anything. You're just stealing. You're stealing what God created, and you just found a way to take it, to harness it, right? We've created nothing. We have created nothing. And so we have to walk with an understanding that God is primary in our life, and he is the one that we need to follow so that our families recognize that we are worth following. Amen?
Yes.
And so in verse 4, it says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Now check this out. We had all these men again in the front. But in the video that played before we got started, it says that God is also the father to the fatherless. Mm-hmm. 41 men stood up here. And I love the fact that you called up Paul, right? Mm-hmm. Because men, you have to understand, just Paul. Because you don't have children does not mean that it does not make you a father. Yeah. Because there are fatherless children in this church who need a role model. There are fatherless children in this church that need to see, and they understand they have a heavenly father, but they need to see what it looks like to have a father on earth.
That's right. That's right.
And that is the importance of here. We are many in one body in Christ, yet individually members one of another. Saints, we need to understand the importance and significance of the body of Christ. When there is someone who walks around and they are still able to say that they are fatherless, the church has failed. The church has failed. There should be no child that leaves this place that still believes that they are fatherless.
That's right.
Every child in this church should be able to leave this place with the understanding that God has provided for me many fathers.
That's right.
Provided for me many protectors. Mm-hmm. Word also tells us that
advisors.
There's no greater love than one that is willing to give his life for a brother.
Yes.
Saints of God, the world is not for us. Yes. The world is not for us. I hate to break it for you. Mm-hmm. The world is not for us. But how sad is it that if we are in the church, we don't feel like we're for one another? Mm. Here, in this house, God's house, our prayer is this, that each and every single individual grows as individuals.
Yes.
However, that as families, we grow with one another as families. And I can tell you, I walk around this place. I love being able to have conversations with different people. And I love being able to talk to some of the kids. And those kids, they come running up to me. I've been tackled by children. Pastor Shelley, a long time ago, I remember seeing you get tackled to the floor and they put makeup on you.
Yeah, they were trying.
They were trying.
They were trying. Yeah.
Yes. I've seen when I first interacted with this church many, many years ago, I saw Pastor Michal running out. We were in the bowling alley and they were taking care of the kids in that back room. And I saw Pastor Michal chasing two children. One of them just happened to be one of his own, Sarah. But he was chasing another child as well. Why? Because we were all raising each other's children up. We are all individuals, but we are all individually members of one another.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And saints of God, I want to leave you with this because it is Father's Day and I'm not going out, but I got a big piece of steak I got to cook. I leave you with this. If there is someone in your life here today, if there is someone in this house today that may have caused an offense to you, I pray that you would allow forgiveness to set in.
Yes.
I pray that on this Father's Day, wives, if your husband has offended you, find forgiveness in your heart.
Yes.
Husbands, if your wife has offended you, find forgiveness in your heart. Because when we operate together in unity in the name of Christ, I will tell you this. There's no way that the culture can change the church, but watch how this church will change this culture. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Well, we know how important it is to experience change in life, and we want even our children to grow up. No one wants a five-year-old to stay five for 20 years.
Help us, Lord.
You know, we're trusting that they will grow up, and one day they will mature and become what God has called them to be. And it's the same thing when you're a child of God. No one wants a five-year-old Christian who's given their heart to the Lord, and 5 or 10 or 15, 20 years later, you're still the same as the day you gave your life to the Lord. We should be growing and maturing in the ways of God, and we need spiritual fathers who can model the way to us.
Amen.
And as has been pointed out, to have a model to follow is so very important. In Luke 15, 20, it tells us, it says, so he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And this, as we all know, is the prodigal son when he came home. And when the prodigal son came home, his father didn't harass him. Man, what have you been doing? Wow, I've heard this and I've heard that, and you did that wrong and that. You know, he wasn't being harassed by his father. His father was there waiting. And I just want to point out to you, be a good father and have patience to wait. Have patience to wait so that God can do a work in the heart of your children, in the heart of your wife, in the heart of your other family members and friends and people around us. We need to be a people who have the ability to wait and to have compassion.
Amen.
God has called us to be a people of compassion for him. And that him is for the people around us. We have to love one another. We have to genuinely care for one another.
Amen.
And it's so important that we are in an environment where that is being cultivated. And so we too can run. Notice the father ran. He ran to meet his son. You know, we should be excited to see our children grow and mature and learn from their mistakes even, and that we would have nothing but love for them. He said to them, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. And this is the older brother. The older brother was bitter. He was angry. He was upset. He was jealous because of all that his younger brother had received. He took his portion of the inheritance and he squandered it away. And so here he comes now, and he's coming home because he's got nothing left. He's broken. And so often we're quick to say, well, you had your chance, you blew it. Well, you should have done the right thing, but you didn't. Oh, well, you're on your own now. But that's not the heart of God.
Nope.
God says, I know that you've been through difficult and hard times, and I know that you made poor decisions and you've done things in a way that wasn't exactly the right way to do it, but come home. there's always a place for you to come home.
Amen.
And when you come home, there's love here. There's acceptance here. There's grace here. There's mercy here. There's an opportunity to start new.
Amen.
And to start again when you come home.
Amen.
And that is what God is portraying here for us all. And for the fathers, come home. Come
Hallelujah.
Home, fathers. Come home to your wives. Come home to your children. Come home to your God. Come home to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And let God do a new thing in your life. You've done things your way. You've done things in ways that may not have worked out exactly the best for you. But if you change and do things God's way, you will have better results.
Hallelujah.
And even as the older brother recognized that there was this great celebration going on, it hurt him. It says that he became angry and wasn't even willing to go in. Brothers and sisters, let's not be a people who are so filled with anger that we are not willing to do what is right before the Lord, to be able to join in the celebration. We are so thankful for each and every one of you. We are so grateful for all that you are doing. And I know that God is doing great things in your lives. We have seen people's lives changed. We have had families transformed. I remember having men's names on a prayer list that we had on the whiteboard, remember?
Yep.
And the wives said, please pray for my husband.
Yep.
And we had the list, people on the list.
I was on that list.
Yeah. He's still on that list. And we were praying. We were praying.
For other reasons.
Yes. Yeah, all right. The reasons did change. But one by one, we saw people's lives changed. We saw families changed. We've seen households changed. We've seen individuals change. All because of the prayer that went before
Amen.
The Lord
Amen.
In behalf of these people. Don't underestimate the reality and the importance of prayer.
Hallelujah.
It changes lives.
Amen. Amen.
Even the science shows that people who pray and are consistent in fellowship and in church, they live longer than people who do not
Hallelujah.
Participate in these things. And their quality of life is better.
Yeah.
And so you and I, we have nothing to be ashamed of by serving the Lord, by doing the will of God. It is a proven fact that there are benefits to worshiping God, serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Life is a powerful game. And if you know the rules and you're able to play accordingly, God will enable you to win in the end.
Amen, amen,
and that is
amen.
Why it's so important for us to apply these principles. Don't let anger overtake you.
Amen.
Don't let anger cause you to be someone that you are not meant to be.
Right,
let the love of God infiltrate your heart. Let God transform you from within. In verse 29, it says, he answered and said to his father, this is the older son, he says, look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And the father responds and says to him, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours.
Amen.
Saints of God, we have an inheritance in God.
Jesus.
We Hallelujah. Have an inheritance with God. When people make mistakes and they do things that are not good to do, that are not wise to do, God says, let's forgive. Let's forgive them. And let's give them the opportunity to live life differently. Let's help each other to overcome and to allow the love of God to transform each other's lives. He said, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. we have the resources of the kingdom of heaven and of God at our disposal.
Amen.
God has prepared a place for us. That's what the
Hallelujah.
Word of God says.
Hallelujah.
That where he is, we may be
also.
Yeah. There are witnesses among us. I am a witness to you that God has prepared a place for us. You and I, we have a great inheritance that in the natural you can't see, but in the spirit there is life. And there is abundant life.
Amen.
There is
Amen.
This powerful
Amen.
Essence of
Amen.
Life. And we are here to impart it to each other. We are here to build each other up, to help each other. It says in verse 32, we had to celebrate. Do you see that? We had to celebrate and rejoice. That's how I feel. I feel like I have to celebrate. That's why this is a celebration church. I have to celebrate.
Hallelujah.
Every time we come together, we have to celebrate.
Amen.
We want dancing. We want singing.
Woo.
We want giving of thanks.
Hallelujah.
We want to eat. We want to have fun.
Hallelujah.
We want to enjoy ourselves. This is the house of God. There's no better place to have fun than the house of God.
Hallelujah.
There is no better
Hallelujah.
Place than to learn and to grow and enjoy life. And saints of God, know that God is worth the time and the effort.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I went with my granddaughters. We went to see The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, great movie.
Hallelujah. Oh, I know. It was a tearjerker. It was. And I'm telling you, we were there in the movie theater, and we were just so into the whole movie, you know. We were watching Ursula work her evil, and we were talking about how this is just the way the world is. Isn't this a picture
yep.
of the way the world is? It was so eye-opening to see. Even Disney gets it. It was like, yeah, this is what's happening to people all the time in life. And we looked at that, and I was so amazed. And we were so happy. We all had our big bags of popcorn. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I got all popcorn. We all had our. And I was like, you get all, get your own bag. Hallelujah. And we just celebrated, and we enjoyed this story. And when we were in, I came out. Man, we were in there for 2.5 hours. I was like, good Lord, hallelujah. I was like, this is
like
what people feel like leaving church. Look at that. They're like, good Lord, man, we were there for how? Yeah, looking at their watches. They're like, man, listen, when you're at a party, nobody's looking at the time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you're enjoying life, you don't care about the time. I mean, we care about the time. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to mess anybody up here. You know, no. You can come back next week. We'll still come. Sorry. You know, but we know that when you're in the presence of God, when there is exciting things happening, when you are experiencing something, it's worth the time. It's worth the effort.
Amen.
And the word of God is real. It is powerful. The word of God says it's quick and powerful. That means, man, it has the ability to do something in a timely manner, to transform and to bring about change. God is a God of transformation and change. And I know there are a lot of people in the world who try to, you know, the first thing the devil wants you to do is pretend like God doesn't exist. He tries to do the Jedi mind trick. There is no God. Don't believe. Don't trust in the Lord. You don't need him. There's no such thing. You know, that's called the Jedi mind trick, right? We all know about that. And that's what the world is trying to do, you know, to people, to get them to think that God is not who he says he is. But I can tell you, he is. And it is, we are not like the way we are because we were always like this. I'm telling you, we were, I'm not even going to go into what we were, but I can tell you, we weren't this.
Dirty.
And it's incredible, you know, to know and experience God. And if it happened to me, and if it happened to Michal and to him, Raphael, you know, goodness,
Jesus.
You know, it can happen to anybody. It really can, because it is so true. I was so happy to see Grandpa Rob. He's here today. Woo! You know, we know that Grandpa was... Grandpa, I can't quite, the light is in my eyes. So Grandpa, you know, we're so glad that you're back, you know, he's healing and he's doing well. And he looks great, man. He really looks great. You know, and you know, we all got together. We were running that 5K. Remember, we were doing the 5K race on the Heritage Trail. And Grandpa came, and we were having such a good time. And Grandpa got in, and he's been with us ever since, kind of going back. He's come, he's going, comes, he goes. But God has done such an amazing thing in this man's life. Amen. You know, I'm sorry I'm calling you out, Grandpa, but I'm just so happy to see you. I'm so excited. He's a new man.
Hallelujah.
He is a new man. He's a different guy than the man he was when he first came. And so many of you guys, you know, you're changed. And I could go through the whole congregation of all these guys. You know, they're changed. You know, Ben's got a flag. Woo! Come on, man. You know? I mean, goodness. Right? I mean, you know, he used to come to church black and blue. His wife was beating him so bad because he was on her nerves so bad. But, you know, but look at him now. He's in white pants, lavender shirt. You know, God is doing something. God changes people's lives. He changes families. We all have a testimony. We all have a story. And the men who really engage and connect and do the things that are presented as an opportunity to take advantage of, they experience change. Mm. And God will change you from an angry person to somebody who has the love of God in their hearts. Somebody who genuinely cares for others. Somebody who is able to celebrate, to rejoice, to give thanks. He says, your brother, this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live.
Hallelujah.
How many of us were dead and have now begun to live?
Hallelujah.
Saints of God, let's live. Let's live life. Let's live life together. Let's encourage our children and our wives and our families, our other coworkers and people around us. Let's breathe life. People are hurting. People are suffering. People are confused. And we know there's a spirit of chaos in the world. I mean, goodness, I don't even have to say anything about that. You know how insane the world has become. The members of the asylum are now running the institution. This is the world we live in. And they want everybody to be insane. And now it's normal to be insane. What do you think that means? That means the people who are sane are going to be seen as the insane because the insane have taken over and are establishing the standards. So now all the normal thinking people are being made to seem as if they're insane, and it's so insane that those who are sane feel like they're insane, but they're actually sane because the insane are running the world.
Insane.
Goodness.
Check.
But this is what's going on. And I don't know about you, but I'm not stupid. Right? And so God has given us the tools and the resources so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. And you and I, we have the joy of the Lord. We have a reason to celebrate and to rejoice.
Yes,
and it's
hallelujah.
Just like John says, he says, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Saints of God, let your soul prosper. Let your soul prosper. Breathe life. Let God breathe life into you. Let him encourage your heart. Let him help you to see and perceive. Don't assume you know everything. Just go in dumb. Say, I don't know anything, Lord. Just show me. Show me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Don't assume that you know. Just say, Lord, I need, just help me. And God will. God is perfectly able to speak for himself. Believe me, we're not talking about an idol. God can speak to you.
Amen.
He has a way to reach you. All you have to do is ask him. Just ask and you shall receive. If you just let God be God, he will change your life. It says, I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth. That is how you are walking in truth.
Amen.
Men of God, let's walk in truth.
Amen.
Don't let the insanities of the world throw you off course. Walk in truth. Walk in what is right, what is accurate, what is best practice. Apply the principles of God in your life and the ways of the Lord. It's not crazy to serve God. It's actually liberating to serve God. Woo! It is awesome.
Hallelujah.
It is awesome. It will change the way you feel, the way you experience life. Your whole perspective changes. You're able to see good instead of evil. You're able to help others. You're able to sacrifice yourself and give of yourself. You're able to be a blessing instead of just looking for a blessing. God will transform your life. And he says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Hallelujah. Is that what you want for your children?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Is that what you want for your kids?
Hallelujah.
That's what I want for my children. That's what I want for my sons and my daughters. That's what I want for my brethren, my sisters, and my brothers in the Lord, and all the family of God. This is what we want. We want to walk in truth.
Hallelujah.
Finally, it says, beloved, we are the children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be, but we know that when he appears, we will be him, because we will see him just as he is, talking about Jesus. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure.
Hallelujah.
Saints of God, let God change your heart. Just do what you need to do. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You know what your life ought to be about. Just jump in. Just allow God to do a new thing in your life. Just apply the principles of God in your life. Let God transform you. God is a transforming Father.
Yes.
He is a transforming Father.
Hallelujah.
He will transform your life. He will make you new. He will cause you to have a new life experience. And he will make you to be the man that he intended you to be. Well, I thank you today for joining us for this Father's Day. And I pray that you are going through a metamorphosis of change, and that God is doing a new thing in you. It's one thing to look at other people, but I tell you, when you can look in the mirror and say, God, have your way in my life. Lord, change me. Lord, make me new. God, I need your help. And when you have people around you who can help you, who can encourage you, who can breathe life into you, sometimes you can't see the condition that you're operating under. You know, if something's on your back, way back here, you can't see it. You might not even know it's there. But when you have people around you, they can see from all different sides. And when they are able to see, they can help you to overcome that thing riding on your back that you don't even realize is there. And they will be able to help you overcome obstacles and challenges and difficulties as we go through life, and your life will be changed. And God wants to do a new thing in all of us. He is a transforming Father. Every day is a new day. Don't hold what we did yesterday against us, but give us a chance. Give us a chance. Women of God, give the men of God a chance. Be forgiving. Be loving, be gracious, and men of God, give the women of God a chance. Be loving, be gracious, and allow God to do a new thing. Let's talk about things and help each other overcome the things that the world is working out against us. We all know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen.
And so as we go into the world, we are fighting an enemy. There is an evil demon, devil spirit that is at work against us. And we know that the only way to bring down the strongholds of the enemy is by allowing the power of God to arise. And when the Spirit of the Lord arises, you will be able to overcome, so that no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper, because the Lord your God is with you in all that you do as you walk with him and apply the principles of his word and experience the power of a transforming Father in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you for your patience with us today. Hallelujah. Love the dominions, the power and mission.
Lift your name, it stands above them all.
Angels cry.
As we celebrate Father's Day, and as we go out these doors, know that your Heavenly Father wants to do something new at your house. It's not just about being blessed and obtaining riches and random things. It's not just about being religious, because honestly, I don't consider myself religious. But I tell you, it's about having a relationship with God that will change your life. God will change your life. He really will. And I'm telling you, sometimes it seems like going to church or being a part of the church is something that just takes time away from doing something that you would rather do. But I tell you, it's actually the opposite. When you invest time in the church and in the things of God, it brings your whole life experience to life. And you will have purpose, and you will see the manifestations of God even down to your children's children's children. I'm telling you, your whole lineage will be transformed when you, as a man of God, arise and just ask God. Challenge God. Say, God, if you're God, do something new in my life. And God has a way. He will change your heart. He will change your mind. He will change your life. Don't treat God as if he's an idol, some wooden carving or a statue that somebody's placed up and we're all paying homage to. That's not this. That's not what this is. God is a very real entity. He is alive and is fully able to engage you. Just ask him. Just believe that he is, because he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let God prove himself. I don't have to prove God to you. I'm just testifying. I'm just telling you what God has done for me, what he's taught me, what he's shown me. That's what we're all doing here. And that's what we do for each other. And I can tell you, God will do it for you. And so if you have not experienced God for yourself, I want to encourage you today to just ask God, to say, Lord, show me. Lord, show me who you are. Change my heart. Give me a heart that is open to the truth, to reality. And then help me, oh God, to be an example of your reality. Make me new. I know what yesterday was, but I ask that today and tomorrow going forward would be new. Show me, Lord, your transforming power and your ability to change. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we love you, saints of God, and I pray that today is the greatest day that you will have launching into this upcoming week, as God does a great thing when you celebrate your Father in your house. Are you going to celebrate him today? Can you give thanks for him today? Well, may the Lord be glorified in your house, in your life. Be blessed and be filled with the goodness of God in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. And thank you for coming to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. Celebrate in the name of the Lord. Your name highest, your name is the greatest, your name
stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all created.